Let us pray. Father, we thank you for your living word, a word that comes out from the pages and touches us and ministers to us at places of our deepest need. And so we pray that as we reflect upon these readings this morning, that you would again come and minister to us, heal us, raise us up, and give us new life, we pray, in Jesus' name. Amen. Often when I was a parish minister, people would maybe phone me up or come to the manse apologetically, and they would say, "I'm really too sorry to bother you. This must be your busy day today, Sunday." And I used to think, well, actually, probably not. Sunday's probably the quieter day in the week of a minister. I remember well a couple coming for a wedding interview, and I was with them for about an hour and a half. And they said, "Are you working today?" And I said, "This is my work." They said, "You've just been blethering." I said, "I know, that's what a lot of my work is about, blethering to other people." Often I was asked to go and speak at different guilds or different other groups within the church, and I was always thinking, what am I going to talk about when I get there? What am I going to say that was different to the last time? And a few occasions, I decided just to print out a week of my diary and take it with me to the group and just explain about some of the different tasks that a minister is involved in day by day and week by week. And I think some people were genuinely amazed, because I do think there's a wee core of people out there who still think that the minister only works on a Sunday. And we're smiling as we hear that, but there are folk out there who that's what they think. And I don't know what they think we do all the rest of the week. I was also amazed when I started to really look at my diary, because there seemed to be lots of action going on and not much time for contemplation and prayer. And the two are not, should be together in anyone's life, not just those involved in ministry, time of action, but also a time of contemplation, a time of prayer. We need to try and get our lives balanced out a bit. This morning in our gospel reading, we caught a little glimpse of a day in the life of Jesus in his ministry. And we, just before the passage that was read this morning, Jesus has been in the synagogue with his disciples. He's been to worship, and there's been a bit of a disturbance there. A man was healed of an impure spirit, but Jesus had been to worship in the synagogue. Then they left the place of worship, and we hear that they go to the house of Simon, and his mother-in-law is in bed with a fever. Whenever Jesus came into the house, the folks there told him that the woman was ill, and he went to her and took her hand and helped her up. Jesus raises the woman up, and she begins to serve. Jesus lifts her up, he raises her up, and we see resurrection power at work here. I think it's amazing that the woman, rising from her sick bed, immediately goes out to serve others who are in the house. Don't know about you, but if I've ever been ill in my bed for a time, I take time to recover. You know, I don't go rushing back into working and doing things. I take a few days just taking it easy, easing myself back in. But not with this woman. Her healing is immediate, complete, and she gets up to wait on those who have gathered in the house. The woman becomes a follower of Jesus. Another disciple begins to serve him. Jesus has already called the first four, and they have followed him and become his disciples. But in her own way, that woman too has become a disciple of Jesus. And it's interesting to me anyway, that often we only think of the men that Jesus called, the men that Jesus asked to come with him. And the women are kind of pushed to one side, but they are serving too. They are following too. And this woman becomes a follower of Jesus. They spend the afternoon together, and then we hear that evening after sunset, an amazing thing begins to happen. Because Simon's house, now being waited on by his mother-in-law, becomes a household of God, becomes a meeting place of those in need of healing and forgiveness. The whole town gathers at the door of the house. Some older translations use the phrase, the whole world was pressing up against the door. Can you imagine what that would be like if you looked out your door tonight and all of Curlook was coming and they were all pressing up against the door and they were all coming to your house because they were broken and wounded and needing healing? You might want to just shut the door. But one thing's for sure, when Jesus shows up at your place, life is never the same again. When you invite Jesus into your home, into your heart, into your life, you better get ready for some unexpected things to happen. You better be ready for a change to come about. When Jesus shows up, you're going to get healed. Praise the Lord. When Jesus shows up, you're going to be set free. You're going to be restored. You're going to be raised up. You're going to be forgiven. And then, oh my, something starts working inside you. And you have an overwhelming conviction to serve the Lord Jesus Christ. You're going to be a witness to others about what he's doing in your life. You're not going to be able to help yourself. You're going to be blethering out all the time. You're going to be a walking testimony to the power of Jesus of Nazareth. Jesus was invited to come in to Simon's house, and this house becomes the new gathering place, the new company of Jesus. And his mother-in-law, Simon's mother-in-law, is leading the way. There's a new community of faith being born, not inside the synagogue, but outside in someone's home, in someone's house. And this place begins to embrace those in need of healing, helping all of the crowds who come to Jesus. Jesus meets those who have arrived at the house, and we read he healed many who had various diseases, and he also drove out many demons. But he wouldn't allow them to speak because they knew who he was. The demons know who Jesus is, and he silences them. He has complete authority over them, and they cannot ever resist his power. But then notice what happens after this time of intense and incredible ministry. After everyone is tended to, Jesus, exhausted, takes time out. very early in the morning while it was still dark, Jesus goes away by himself. And one thing that Jesus surely modeled to all of his followers was this balanced lifestyle. For times of activity were followed by times of retreat and deep communion with his Father God. The pattern to note here is a rhythm of withdrawal and engagement, engagement and withdrawal. Jesus goes to work only after he has been to prayer. And he goes apart to be steeped in the reality of God before he plunges himself back into the reality of the world. Before he lays hands on, he lets go. Before he ministers to other people, he allows himself to be ministered to by his Father God. And how important this pattern of Jesus' life is for us in our Christian lives, in the here and the now. Jesus sets out the rhythm of our Christian living. No prayer without action, no action without prayer. You know, I think one of the enemy's greatest weapons is keeping us busy. In our daily lives, in church life, he just longs that we're running around, busy, 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 doing this, doing that, doing the next thing, never having time to have this communion with our Father God. A woman I know is going through a difficult time in her relationship just now and decided to have a trial separation from her husband. She's in a place of kind of chaos, a place of grief, a place of devastation, really, as she realizes that her marriage is just breaking down. And she texted me the other week and she said, "I'm keeping as busy as I can be because that's what's helping me the most. I'm keeping as busy as I can be because that's what's helping me the most." And I wanted just to say to her, maybe you should just stop a while. Maybe you should just spend some time with the Lord. Maybe you should just wait for him to help you, to minister to you, to bring some comfort, to bring some healing into your life. But that's what we do, don't we? Time and again. If life's getting tough or if we're in a hard place, we don't want to stop. We don't want to hear what God might be saying to us. We just want to keep busy, keep active. Presbytery of Lanark are coming away to Brayhead House in a few weeks' time to have an evening of retreat. And the person that was organising it said, "And we're just going to deal with some items of business while we're with you." And I said, "Oh, no, be a retreat then, will it? if you're coming apart and you're going to be doing some work, don't be calling it a retreat, because it's not. It's just going to be the presbytery meeting in a different venue." So they're coming away on retreat, members of presbytery. And I know there are lots of men and women in the presbytery of Lanark just now who are absolutely just stretched almost to the limits of what they can give and what they can do. Half of the congregations in Lanark Presbytery are in vacancy at the moment, and it's just a tough time for the folks that are left trying to fill gaps and fill places. And I know, because I'm getting sucked into it as well. I'm getting sucked in, and I'm looking at my diary for next week going, "How did that happen? Why is this happening? I need to stop. And the folks, I hope when they come for their time of retreat, will have a time to stop and have a time of refreshing, even if it's just for a couple of hours. The wonderful passage that we heard also in Isaiah this morning, speaking to people who are feeling really down, people who are feeling confused, people who are feeling wounded and broken. The people are in exile. They maybe feel that God doesn't understand what's going on in their lives at that particular time. And here come the wonderful words from Isaiah. Do you not know? Have you not heard? The Lord is the everlasting God, the creator of the ends of the earth. He will not grow tired or weary, and his understanding no one can fathom. And here's the lovely bit here. He gives strength to the weary and increases the power of the weak. Even youths grow tired and weary, and young men stumble and fall. But those who hope in the Lord will renew their strength. They will soar on wings like eagles. They will run and not grow weary. They will walk and not be faint. Those who hope in the Lord. In some translations it says, those who wait on the Lord. Those who wait on the Lord will renew their strength. They will rise on wings like eagles. They will run and not grow weary. They will walk and not be faint. Why? Because they've spent time waiting on the Lord. I don't know where you are in your walk with the Lord at the moment. Some of us will be in a good place this morning and we're ready to take on the challenges ahead of us. Some of us are weary. We're battle weary. We're maybe not in good health, or maybe we're just wondering what on earth's going on in our lives and in the world at the moment. But one thing's for sure, keeping busy, keeping active, not waiting on the Lord will not give us renewed strength. It's only as the two go together, the waiting and then the action, the prayer and then the strength. I know it's true. I've known it in my own life when I'm at my wit's end to finally come before the Lord. And there the strength comes back. And there the comfort comes. And then the order comes out of chaos. And there we're raised up again to new life. Jesus takes time to be apart, to be in prayer with his Father. Then his disciples seek him out. And he continues on in his ministry, moving back out into the world, moving back into meeting with the people who have different needs and different desires, but going back out strengthened by the time he spent in prayer. And so, another challenge. This coming week, take time to be with the Lord. It's okay to stop. It's okay to stop and just gaze. You know, let the Lord look upon you and let your own heart look upon the Lord. And I'll see you all soaring on wings as eagles. Let us pray. Father, so often we think we can fix everything. So often we think that we need to keep working and working and working because that's what pleases you. But Father, you constantly want to meet with us. Your desire is that we would sit before you and rest in your presence. So Father, in this coming week, help us to find the quiet centre where in the midst of our lives we might commune deeply with you. Allow deep to speak to deep, that we might be renewed, that we might soar as on eagle's wings, that we might know healing and forgiveness and peace once again. Thank you that you know us, and thank you that you love us. And we simply rest with you this morning. In the name of Jesus, amen.